"Riddle's diary's gone," he said in an undertone to Ron.
"What?"
Harry jerked his head towards the dormitory door, and Ron followed him out. They hurried back down to the Gryffindor common room, which was half empty, and joined Hermione, who was sitting alone, reading a book called Ancient Runes Made Easy. Hermione looked aghast at the news.
"But only a Gryffindor could have stolen... Nobody else knows our password."
"Exactly," said Harry. They woke next day to brilliant sunshine and a light, refreshing breeze.
"Perfect Quidditch conditions," said Wood enthusiastically at the Gryffindor table, loading the team's plates with scrambled eggs. "Harry, buck up there, you need a decent breakfast."
Harry had been staring down the packed Gryffindor table, wondering if the new owner of Riddle's diary was right in front of his eyes. Hermione had been urging him to report the robbery, but Harry didn't like the idea. He'd have to tell a teacher all about the diary, and how many people knew why Hagrid had been expelled 50 years ago. He didn't want to be the one who brought it all up again. As he left the great hall with Ron and Hermione to go and collect his Quidditch things, another very serious worry was added to Harry's growing list. He had just set foot on the marble staircase when he heard it, yet again.
"Kill this time. Let me rip, tear."
He shouted aloud, and Ron and Hermione both jumped away from him in alarm.
"The voice," said Harry, looking over his shoulder. "I just heard it again. Didn't you?"
Ron shook his head, wide-eyed. Hermione, however, clapped her hand to her forehead.
"Harry, I think I've just understood something. I've got to go to the library."
And she sprinted away up the stairs.
"What does she understand?" said Harry distractedly, still looking around, trying to tell where the voice had come from.
"Loads more than I do," said Ron, shaking his head.
"But why's she got to go to the library?"
"Because that's what Hermione does," said Ron, shrugging. "When in doubt, go to the library."
Harry stood irresolute, trying to catch the voice again.
But people were now emerging from the great hall behind him, talking loudly, exiting through the front doors on their way to the Quidditch pitch.
"You better get moving," said Ron. "It's nearly 11. The match!"
Harry raced up to Gryffindor Tower, collected his Nimbus 2000, and joined the large crowd swarming across the grounds. But his mind was still in the castle, along with the bodiless voice, and as he pulled on his scarlet robes in the changing room, his only comfort was that everyone was now outside to watch the game. The teams walked onto the pitch to tumultuous applause. Oliver Wood took off for a warm-up flight around the goalposts. Madam Hooch released the balls. The Hufflepuffs, who played in canary yellow, were standing in a huddle having a last-minute discussion of tactics. Harry was just mounting his broom when Professor McGonagall came half-marching, half-running across the pitch, carrying an enormous purple megaphone. Harry's heart dropped like a stone.
"This match has been cancelled,"
Professor McGonagall called through the megaphone, addressing the packed stadium. There were boos and shouts. Oliver Wood, looking devastated, landed and ran towards Professor McGonagall without getting off his broomstick.
"But, Professor," he shouted, "we've got to play! The cup! Gryffindor!"
Professor McGonagall ignored him and continued to shout through her megaphone.
"All students are to make their way back to the House Common Rooms, where their heads of houses will give them further information. As quickly as you can, please."
Then she lowered the megaphone and beckoned Harry over to her.
"Potter, I think you'd better come with me."
Wondering how she could possibly suspect him this time, Harry saw Ron detach himself from the complaining crowd. He came running up to them as they set off towards the castle. To Harry's surprise, Professor McGonagall didn't object.
"Yes, perhaps you had better come too, Weasley."
Some of the students, swarming around them, were grumbling about the match being cancelled. Others looked worried. Harry and Ron followed Professor McGonagall back into the school and up the marble staircase. But they weren't taken to anybody's office this time.
"This will be a bit of a shock,"
said Professor McGonagall in a surprisingly gentle voice as they approached the hospital wing.
"There has been another attack. Another double attack."
Harry's insides did a horrible somersault. Professor McGonagall pushed the door open, and he and Ron entered. Madame Pumphrey was bending over a fifth-year girl with long, curly hair. Harry recognized her as the Ravenclaw they'd accidentally asked for directions to the Slytherin common room, and on the bed next to her was...
"Hermione!" Ron groaned.
Hermione lay utterly still, her eyes open and glassy.
"They were found near the library," said Professor McGonagall. "I don't suppose either of you can explain this. It was on the floor next to them."
She was holding up a small, circular mirror. Harry and Ron shook their heads, both staring at Hermione.
"I will escort you back to Gryffindor Tower," said Professor McGonagall heavily. "I need to address the students in any case." "All students will return to their house common rooms by 6 o'clock in the evening. No student is to leave the dormitories after that time. You will be escorted to each lesson by a teacher. No student is to use the bathroom unaccompanied by a teacher. All further Quidditch training and matches are to be postponed. There will be no more evening activities."
The Gryffindors, packed inside the common room, listened to Professor McGonagall in silence. She rolled up the parchment from which she had been reading, and said, in a somewhat choked voice,
"I need hardly add that I have rarely been so distressed. It is likely that the school will be closed unless the culprit behind these attacks is caught. I would urge anyone who thinks they might know anything about them to come forward."
She climbed, somewhat awkwardly, out of the portrait hole, and the Gryffindors began talking immediately.
"That's 2 Gryffindors down, not counting a Gryffindor ghost, 1 Ravenclaw, and 1 Hufflepuff," said the Weasley twins' friend, Lee Jordan, counting on his fingers. "Haven't any of the teachers noticed that the Slytherins are all safe? Isn't it obvious all this stuff's coming from Slytherin? The heir of Slytherin? The monster of Slytherin? Why don't they just chuck all the Slytherins out?" he roared, to nods and scattered applause.
Percy Weasley was sitting in a chair behind Lee, but for once he didn't seem keen to make his views heard. He was looking pale and stunned.
"Percy's in shock," George told Harry quietly. "That Ravenclaw girl, Penelope Clearwater, she's a prefect. I don't think he thought the monster would dare attack a prefect."
But Harry was only half listening. He didn't seem to be able to get rid of the picture of Hermione lying on the hospital bed as though carved out of stone. And if the culprit wasn't caught soon, he was looking at a lifetime back with the Dursleys. Tom Riddle had turned Hagrid in because he was faced with the prospect of a Muggle orphanage if the school closed. Harry now knew exactly how he had felt.
"What are we going to do?" said Ron quietly in Harry's ear. "Do you think they suspect Hagrid?"
"We've got to go and talk to him," said Harry, making up his mind. "I can't believe it's him this time. But if he set the monster loose last time, he'll know how to get inside the Chamber of Secrets, and that's a start. But McGonagall said we've got to stay in our tower unless we're in class."
"I think," said Harry, more quietly still, "it's time to get my dad's old cloak out again."